I want to introduce our guest speaker today, Jay and Cinnamon. His wife is not here, but our U.S. missionaries to America's inner cities, and he'll share more about that. And for 25 years, probably more now, he's been planting churches and doing missions and ministries in some of the most dangerous inner cities in America. And thank God for Jay. Amen. And Peace Chapel has been supporting Jay, we've just figured it out, for about 20 years and helping make what Jay does and his mission possible. And we're grateful that you're here today. And would you guys give Jay a warm welcome? Amen.
Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. A little history of myself. I'm a 1991 Teen Challenge graduate. I've spent 3 years in Master's Commission. Since 2000, I've been a U.S. missionary. The first 4 years was in Washington, D.C. That's where Urban Outreach was started. And for the last 22 years, I've been in East St. Louis. And so the East St. Louis is it's a very violent city. From 2004 to 2018, 454 murders in a city of 18,000. And so just across the street from our church, in the last 10 years, 6 people have been shot and killed. I was caught up in a drive-by shooting back in December of 13, a block from our building. I had a pastor visiting with me. We were just driving down the street, and then 50 feet on my side of the church van, 20-some gunshots going off, and then I realize I'm in the middle of a drive-by. The driver in a shooter pulled out of the parking lot, shot up 3 cars behind me. 6 people got hurt, but not one bullet hit the church van. And so the history of East St. Louis is 1960, all-American city, 80,000 people living there. And there used to be 3 Assembly of God churches. And the last Assembly of God church closed in 1983. So from 1983 to 2006, people would go to East St. Louis, they'd try to plant a church, they wouldn't even make it a year because it's just such a violent city. And so 2004, I left D.C., went to East St. Louis, found a bus bench, I sat on it, and I said to God, I'm here now, what do you want me to do? You sent me to this city, I don't have a building, I don't have any staff, I don't know anybody. And God spoke 3 things to me that day. He said, Jay, I want you to reach out to the addicted, afflicted, and hopeless. I want you to raise up pastors and plant churches. So we fast forward today. We're in 8 different cities. We run all of our ministries debt-free. Just in East St. Louis, Washington Park, St. Louis, we have 8 buildings. And so all the planters, all the guys that work with me, I've maintained all my original planters for 26 years. And so just East St. Louis, when the last Assembly of God church left in 83, they moved to the suburbs. They sold that building to an independent church. And there was a family that was going there, and they'd went there for years. And when I came to East St. Louis in 04, God brought a lady to me to do ministry. Because when I got there, God raised up the pastors from the community. And so I have a big cooker, it's a smoker, it's a grill. Frank Matta years ago came down and did ministry with me. We used to take that thing out to the corners with the drug dealers, the gang members, 15 different housing projects, do ministry in the brothels. And so I really needed a woman pastor that could reach out to the women. And so God gave me Shamika Black. I planted that church in 06. And then she took it over in 2010. She's been with me now 20 years. And the craziest thing is that when she was a little girl, she was at that Assembly of God church that left. And then when we come in and plant the church, now she's pastoring it. Just how God does stuff. What may be insignificant to us and may not matter a whole lot and doesn't make any sense, to him matters a lot. You know, when the church reaches a place of brokenness for your city, then God will give you your city. Amen. You cannot reach your city until you understand why it is broken. And, you know, the business of the church, really for that matter, the business of the kingdom of God, it's all about souls. It's to seek and search for those that are lost. That's the whole mission of the church. It's why we exist. And for this church to go to the next level, for this church to grow and to do what God's called you to do, if you don't do it, it's not going to get done. You're the ones that are here. This is your church. There are three principles that grow the church. And this is the only way you can grow a church. There are no other ways. We see churches doing all kinds of crazy stuff today, but then today it doesn't work. You just have a bunch of people showing up, they're dead. Three things that grow the church, and it's this: missions, outreach, evangelism. It's the components. It's never changed. It's how we grow the church. Faith will always propel God's plan for your life, while fear will cripple you from ever taking your first step that requires action on your part. Everything that we've done to this point in ministry has been by faith. Every city that we've went into, and I'll share the cities as I'm going, there was nothing there. We had nothing. We started everything from the ground up, and that was just showing up and saying, God, this is your ministry. I don't talk about money. I don't ask for it. I don't need to, because at the end of the day, it's not mine. It's his. He's always taking care of it. I have the largest budget in the Assemblies of God, $31,000 a month. And you know what's really funny is when I was going through national appointment in September of 2000, and I was at this big round table with these eight men being interviewed, they said to me, we're not going to appoint you. And I said, why not? They said, because we don't think you'll be able to raise money. And now here we have the largest budget in our fellowship of 8,000 missionaries. God has a sense of humor. He knows what he's doing. God wants to give us ears to hear and eyes to see. He wants us to be fully aware of where we're at. Years ago when I gave my life to Christ, I was at an Oberoman's Pizza. And I was ordering my food and I was just waiting on it. And so I'm just sitting around looking around over in the corner. I noticed a guy sitting in a booth. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, you see that guy over there? I said, yes, Lord. He said, he's going to take his life tonight. I want you to go tell him about me. And I was a new believer. And I was in that question mark. You ever been there? God, is this you or is this me? That's where I was at. But I couldn't get away from it. That's how you know it's the Holy Spirit. And so I went and I talked to him. I pretty much said what God said. And he said, yes. He said, I have a shotgun hanging up in the back of my truck, and I'm going to take my life tonight. And I end up leading him to Christ right there in Oberoman's. Now, there are times when people come to Christ and there's a radical transformation. And there are times they give their life to Christ and nothing. That guy had a radical transformation. I don't know what happened, but God changed that guy right there in Oberoman's. And so he was so changed, they said, would you follow me to my house? I want you to meet my parents. And so I followed him to his house. It was a Saturday night, and we got there, and his mom and dad pulled in, and he told them what happened. And you know what? They were at a prayer meeting that night, and they felt like something bad was going to happen to their son, but they couldn't figure it out. I just happen to have ears to hear and eyes to see. 2 years ago, I was speaking at a church in Terre Haute, Indiana. I told that story, and after a service, a guy walked up to me, and he had tears streaming down his eyes, and I said, well, what's the matter? He said, I remember that night because that was my brother. Wow. Years ago, I was at the dope man's house. I'd taken a lot of drugs that night, and I remember that night. I remember that I felt like I was dying. I felt like I was going in and out of consciousness the entire night. Next day, I was fine. Back then, there was no cell phones. This is 1991. And I'm at home, and the phone rings, and I answer the phone, and there's a lady. Her name is Jane Howard. She said, are you Jay? I said, I am. She said, God woke me up last night in the middle of my sleep and told me to intercede for you the entire night. I've seen your face 12 times in the fire. Do you know what that means? I said, I do. I almost OD'd last night 12 times. And if I would have died, I would have went to hell. She said, yes, you're correct. She said, you need to stop running from God and get your life right with him. And it was just a month later, I found myself in Teen Challenge. And it's been a process of going from that point to going into ministry. Went to Brownsville Revival, and Steve Hill was a Teen Challenge graduate. And back then he would say to, as he would end the service, he would say, if there are any Teen Challenge graduates here tonight, come forward, I want to pray for you. And I went forward and he prayed over me and he prophesied. This is September of 96, he prophesied and he said, within the next year, you'll be in full-time ministry. And I was thinking, this guy's crazy. I'm 26 years old. I work at a prison. How's that going to happen? The next year, September 1997, I found myself a master's commission. And in the 3 years I was there, then I go to D.C. to work with a gentleman that started Urban Outreach. And back then, that was a very dangerous, very violent neighborhood. Southeast D.C., East St. Louis has nothing on Southeast D.C. after being there for 4 years. East St. Louis is a walk in the park. That is a piece of cake. And so what happened was, this guy was a Yale graduate and he was going to be a lawyer, and he ends up volunteering at Teen Challenge in 1995. And they were busing inner city kids from the D.C. to the suburbs of Maryland, and he questioned it and he said, why are we busing these kids from the inner city to the suburbs? Should there not be a church in that neighborhood? He ended up marrying the director's daughter, did not become a lawyer, became a U.S. missionary, and founded Urban Outreach. And so he went into the neighborhood, and he was at a church, and this guy that owned a lot of buildings in Washington, D.C., said, you're Ken Brown? He said, I am. He said, I have a three-story 12-unit building in that neighborhood that you're going to start your church. And he says, it's an eyesore, it's a problematic building. If you want, I will give you the building. And he gave him that building. That building today is worth $2.5 million. Just last week, our ministry was acknowledged by the mayor of Washington, D.C., and the D.C. Metropolitan Police for 30 years of service in that neighborhood. And so that's where I cut my teeth with that, with Ken Brown. He left the ministry in 2009, and then I was given D.C., started East St. Louis. After we launched East St. Louis, there's a community next to us called Washington Park. And back in its heyday, that church was planted in 1953. And in its day, that church ran 500. It was a solid missions-giving church. But then it began to fall apart and people left. And then the Illinois district contacted me in July of 07, and they said, hey, we're going to close that church and we're going to sell the property. But before we do it, we're just curious, are you interested in it? Will you take it? I said, I'll take it on one condition, that when I take it, you cannot tell me what I can and can't do with it, because I'm the one taking all the risk. When I took that church, it had 10 people in it. So that first Sunday, I went in and closed it and told them to go to the church at East St. Louis. And I let that building sit for a year. It had to die, completely die out. And in the process of it, I was praying and asking God, what do you want me to do here? And he said, I want you to plant a Spanish-speaking church here. And I said, Lord, that doesn't make any sense. There are no Hispanics here. It's an all-black neighborhood. Do you know how crazy that sounds? I want you to plant a Spanish-speaking church here. He said that for 13 months. So I said, well, Lord, give me somebody. And so I met this man, and I hired him the day I met him. Didn't know anything about him. He was 60% tattooed. By the time he's 39 years old, he spent 20 years in prison. He's an ex-Mexican mafia. He's an ex-felon, ex-heroin addict. But after 13 months, that's who God gave me, so I was willing to take the risk. We lose out so much because we judge people by the way they look without giving them an opportunity. People come into the church and we're suspicious. And we shouldn't be, because that's not our job. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. Our job is to love people. His job is to clean them up. I say it all the time. We have to love Jesus in people and love the hell out of them. Because people live hellish lives. So I took a chance on Ramon Granados, and he gave me the story of how he was in prison and this and that. And took a chance, got him credentialed with the Assemblies of God, walked with him through this whole thing. Do you know he's been with me now 18 years? Do you know when he planted that church, it was his wife, his kids, one woman and her two kids at first service? Do you know how many people they had last Sunday? 150. Seven different nations. They represent that church. It's very Pentecostal. They don't apologize. They're old school. The ladies all wear skirts. It's amazing what God did there. Those buildings, they were in decay. They were bad. Now they're all brand new. We've redone them all. All the buildings we have in East St. Louis, we've redone them all. After we launched him, I heard the Lord say, I want you to reach the Bosnians. And I'm like, I don't understand, Lord. Bosnians, what? I don't understand. He said, they're over the river. So I realized, okay, they're in St. Louis. So I researched, and what I found out is there are 10 Bosnian populations in the United States, but at the time, St. Louis had the largest population, 70,000. 90% were Muslim. And nobody reaching them. And so I just prayed and said, okay, God, I'll do it if you give me someone. 8 months later, God gave me a guy. Andrew's been with me now since 2011. We launched BIO International Outreach. It's called BIO, but it stands for Bosnian International Outreach. When we were going to buy the building, Andrew said, we have to get a building. I said, Andrew, you have to realize that inner city ministry cannot sustain debt. He said, so what do we do? I said, you can't get a loan. He said, what do we do? I said, if God doesn't show up or show out, we're in trouble. He has to do it. When I came to East St. Louis, I'd been there for a month when a church in the local area, the pastor called me and said, I want to meet with you for lunch. I met him for lunch. He said, here's a check for $18,000. We want to help you buy a building. I bought my first two buildings for $15,000. Then I bought the bar next to us for $11,000. And then we outgrew the church. We were in two buildings. We outgrew it. So then I bought the little drugstore brick building for $7,000. So we wait and we say, God, we need a building. And so however you choose to do it. And he did it one time, and this is how he did it. It was in the month of 2012 in October. He used, I worked at Hobby Lobby and Master's Commission, so I became friends with David Green, the owner of Hobby Lobby. And so I've been to his home. I've been to the Assembly of God church he attends. And so he booked a service for me. I went and spoke at the church that he attended on a Wednesday night. And his wife put $50,000 in my missionary account. And then I was in Iowa speaking at a church, and after the service, a gentleman walks up to me, him and his wife, and he hands me his business card. He says, when you're ready, you can call me, you can text me, you can email me. My wife and I will give you, he gave me a check for $5,000 that day, and he said, we'll give you another check for $50,000 to help you buy a building. So God used two multi-billion dollar Christian companies to buy that building for $100,000 cash. Well, I didn't know who this guy was in Iowa. I mean, who is this guy? The pastor said, he doesn't even attend my church. He's visiting today. Would you pray that he starts attending our church? I said, who is he? He said, they're the owners of Blue Bunny Ice Cream. And so they bought that building for us. We paid $100,000 cash for it. After we launched him, I went to Teen Challenge in Cleveland, so I've always had a heart for the east side of Cleveland. It's a really rough area in the Buckeye neighborhood. And so as I began to pray and ask God to give me somebody, God gave me this guy named Bob Willard. And Bob Willard and his wife, they have four children. And I told Bob, I said, bro, you cannot live in that neighborhood. You got to live outside. It's so violent. He said, no, we're going to live there. So he bought a house. Moved into the neighborhood. They started doing ministry. And what happened was, as they did that ministry, they ended up planting a church in their house. On Sunday mornings and Thursday nights, they would have 20 to 60 people in their house. And then they started an after-school tutoring program. Monday through Friday, they would have over 20 kids in their house. And then the most amazing thing happened. The 1,600-square-foot house next door came up for sale, and the bank sold them the house for $500. Now, I'll tell you what kind of neighborhood you live in. You could buy a house like that for $500. Did they know they're going to plant house church? No. They just went. And that's what God did. Then the bank calls up the Willards and says, hey, we have this old tavern. It has a large building attached to it and a two-bedroom apartment. We want to sell you the property. And Bob said, how much do you want for it? They said, we'll let you have it for $500. So they buy the property. 6 months later, the bank calls them back in and says, we need to see you guys. So Bob and Judy go back to the bank, and the banker says to them, look, we see everything that you're doing in the neighborhood, so we're going to reissue you a check for $500 to just donate the buildings to you. Last year, the bank called Bob and said, hey, the two-bedroom, two-story duplex behind your church, we want to sell that to you. And Bob said, well, how much do you want for it? They said, we'll let you have it for $1. So that half of that goes in transitional housing for women with their children. The other half will be used for housing teams that come and work with them. After we bought the the drugstore, right next to that was the last piece, because I own like a half a block down in East St. Louis downtown, was this lock shop. And so I would work on our buildings, I would do things for the owner of the lock shop. So last summer, he approached me and he said, I want you to buy me out. I said, well, how much do you want for your building? He said, I'll let you have it for $10,000. And so we put a newsletter out. And as the newsletter went out, within 18 hours, two churches, an individual, gave us the money to buy the building. And so as we closed on the building, I told the owner, I don't know who, when, how, or where, but God's going to give me $30,000 to renovate that building. And we closed on that building on October 24. And that afternoon, a church, his father-in-law's old church in Lamont, they text me and said, do you have any projects? We want to bless you for Christmas. I said, I just bought a building. And so they sent us a check for $10,000. Then back in May, our daughter lives in Phoenix. And so she works at a golf course where it's $75,000 to be a member there. So everybody there's got deep pockets. So she waitresses there. And she's waiting on a table, and it's a gentleman and his family. And so the gentleman says to Miranda, do you have any prayer needs? And Miranda says, not really, but you can pray for my daddy, plants churches. And so this gentleman prays for me, hands my daughter's business card and says, tell your dad to email me and I'll make a donation to his ministry. And so I emailed him that night. And I looked him up, and the guy's worth $560 million. That guy dropped $10,000 on my missionary account 2 weeks later. Complete stranger. I have no idea who he is. I never met the guy before. But God used my daughter. And then we were getting ready to, I needed to get some glass blocks put into the lock shop because they can't break into glass blocks. And so I'm having lunch with the pastor back in September, and I'm in his office with him. It's a small rural church in southern Illinois. And he hands me an envelope. I said, what's this? He said, open it. And open it, it was a check for $10,000. He says, this is for your glass block. So he was there yesterday with this church working on that building. They came in, and I got another team coming this week. They came and did all the work in the main room for me. And then another church was there yesterday. They had they ripped out the old door and put a new frame and steel door and had it donated. Probably saved us $5,000. So it's remarkable how God just does stuff. Because it's his ministry. After we launched Cleveland, we planted an urban outreach in Covington, Kentucky. That's a Lord's gym. It's a boxing gym. We do about 20,000 meals a year. We do employment for 3,000 to 4,000 people every year. We did a lot of stuff for the homeless there. After we launched them, we launched a guy that was connected to that work, went to Phoenix, and we launched an urban outreach in Phoenix. And so just this year, we've already taken 733 people off the streets, putting them into faith-based programs like Teen Challenge and Victory Outreach. We've taken women that are living in their cars with their children and putting them into emergency housing. Since we launched Urban Outreach in 2022, we've taken 7,000 people off the streets in Phoenix. We went from going into Phoenix with nothing to now we have 4 outreach centers going in Phoenix, Arizona. And it's all taken care of. Last story. We're in Indianapolis. Now, I'm from Indiana. I grew up in Greencastle, so I tell people all the time, I'm not really a U.S. missionary. I'm a foreign missionary because I was raised in a farming community. And so the fact that God sticks me in all these cities doing all this stuff, it's very foreign to me. I don't even like big cities. I avoid them. I don't go to Chicago. I stay away from Chicago because I'm afraid if I go there, God's going to tell me to do something. So we just avoid it altogether. I want to do something in Memphis. I want to do something in Miami. That's where I want to do stuff at. And so I'm just waiting on him to give me the people to go. But there's a guy that I'd met years ago, and this guy had done 16 months in federal prison. And when he came out, you know, he's like, I want to work with you. I said, what do you want to do? He said, I don't know. I just want to do something. I said, are you willing to go to Indianapolis? He said, yes. He started out late, too. He was 50, 51 when he started with me. And so I said, if you're willing to go to Indianapolis, then we'll launch Urban Outreach Indianapolis. So we go there and we're looking at the city, trying to figure out how's the best way to be effective reaching the homeless people. Because we don't need to feed them and clothe them because everybody's doing it. And so we came up with this idea. What if God would speak to one of the RV companies in northern Indiana and they'd be willing to build us a custom-built shower trailer? It's got 2 showers. It's mobile, like in a cargo trailer. It's all self-contained. We can go anywhere in the city and provide showers. Wow. And so Forest River said, we'll do it for you. For $37,000, we'll do that. And we need 10% up front. So I was like, okay. So I write the check. And so I'm in conversation with the Lord, and it was like this. Okay, you make me, you don't actually make me, but you have me tithing you 10%. The RV companies tell me to tithe to them 10%. So you need to speak to someone, tell them to pay for this trailer. So we sent a newsletter out, and all we said was we need the trailer. If anybody feels like they want to help, God bless you. And this lady texts me and says, my husband and I are praying about it. And it didn't even take a week. They said, we'll buy it for you. So it was paid for they built it. Do you know who bought that trailer for us? Blue Bunny Ice Cream. So now we have that trailer. It's been in operation now for 4 years. So it's in usage to 11 homeless camps throughout Indianapolis. It's been to Evansville, Indiana to do showers for homeless vets. It's been to Louisville, Kentucky. This year will be the 4th year that'll be in use for Foster Kids Camp in Indiana. They have 800 kids. They don't have enough showers, so they've used our shower trailer for the last 4 years running. You know how we've done all this? Debt-free? Churches. Because your faithfulness in giving, supporting us each and every month, and because of generosity of God's people, that's how we've been debt-free since the start in all the different cities. Big faith in God, knowing that he'll take care of it and everything's his anyways. And then the faithfulness of God's people is how we've been able to do all this for 26 years. And so you guys have been supporting us like 20 years. And so I just want to say to you this morning, thank you guys for supporting us. We love you guys and appreciate you very much. Amen? God bless.